listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Blessed is She Who Believes, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, December 23rd, 2018.
There's quite a lot going on in these ancient stories of the way that Jesus was born. There's prophecy and song and angelic visitation. There's the looming presence of Rome, determined to get every cent out of its taxpayers. There's travel, a shocking lack of hospitality, and a birth not quite indoors. There are low-born shepherds, ordinary folk, and high-born magi swooping in, who knows exactly when, to bring outlandish, expensive, impractical gifts, except perhaps the gold. You can turn that into something practical. The story does its work of reminding us that Jesus was a person, but unique among persons right from the very beginning. Since these are some of our best known stories, they can land on the ear and open a well of memory, a well that is often deeply comforting and full of warmth. It's so good. But it makes me wonder. I wonder if any of you have ever participated in a divine visitation like the ones in the story, either as messenger or as recipient. I wonder if, like Mary and Elizabeth, you have a trusted friend who affirms God's presence and reality to you, and you your own worth. I wonder if you've ever felt like God showed up in an ordinary human face to remind you that God is with you. If you've ever had someone who believed in you or believed for you so hard that you were carried through deep water and back onto safe ground. When I was in college, I made a friend named Joe. This was quite a few years ago, so long ago that it was before the time of Amazon, when students had to go to the on-campus bookstore and stand in line to buy the books they needed for class. And that's how I met Joe. I was standing in line at the bookstore, chatting with my roommate, when a cheerful leprechaun of a young man with curly auburn hair and a flaming red beard struck up a conversation with us on the basis of nothing more than the fact that we were both cradling a stack of books about the history of the Quaker Church. Joe only lasted a week in that class. Well, it was a tiny bit boring. And it wasn't until years later that Joe confessed that he'd never intended to take that class at all. He just saw me and my roommate talking and thought to himself, I want to get in on that. So he bought the books and sat through 6 hours of lectures on Quaker history that first week. Some friendships are like that. You know in the first moment of meeting that there is my friend. Joe and I kept that conversation going for 20 years of friendship until his early death from Lou Gehrig's disease. We cheered each other on through college, through cross-country races, through graduate school, law school for him, through moves and changes in life. Once, although he was not in shape because it was the end of a law school semester, Joe ran a half marathon with me, cheerfully gabbing all the way. Because I was sure that I was not going to be able to make it, although I had been training. I wasn't sure I could finish, but Joe was. I have 1,001 memories of the two of us, and later the four of us, as my husband David and Joe's wife Jackie got pulled into things. 1,000,000 memories of talking and laughing, feeding each other and laughing, traveling back and forth from our home in Charlottesville to theirs in D.C., meeting in the middle to hike with our kiddos in their backpacks. A couple of months After David and I moved to Colorado, it was to our house that Joe and Jackie drove across country to tell us in person that Joe had been diagnosed with ALS. Over the years, as ALS took hold, our in-person visits were spaced farther apart, especially once David and I moved farther west here to Oregon. But we were in touch online most days of the week. It was this friend who believed in Jesus for me at a time in my life when I was unable to believe. I would call him to talk over my latest doubt and express all my anger and dismay at the state of the world. And he would say to me, "Yes, but tell me again what you used to believe. Don't you think really you should just trust that?" Which was interesting because Joe was a cheerfully agnostic Jew. But he believed in the goodness of humanity, and he believed in my belief. And I believe, I have come to believe, that God spoke through him to call me back to myself without leaving me in shame. In his calm assurance and the joy of his friendship, I heard the message that doubt and anger and questions about the state of the world are just fine, and that God does not abandon us, not ever. Blessed was he that trusted in my belief and gave me the gift of that trust. His memory is a blessing. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Elizabeth and Mary, having had their unusual pregnancies announced by angelic visitors, came face to face, each a reassurance of the divine presence to the other. Mary, unmarried, brave, alone, having questioned the angel of the Lord and then said yes, she traveled 80 miles from her home in Nazareth to the hill country, to the home of her kinswoman, Elizabeth, to bless and be blessed by Elizabeth. Centuries of Christian art and literature and theologizing have taught us to think of Mary, if we in the Protestant world think of her at all, as meek and mild. We see her dressed in her soft gowns of blue and white, a belt around her tiny waist, her eyes cast demurely down. But Mary was bold and self-possessed. Self-possessed enough to question the angelic announcement and to pause before saying yes. Self-possessed enough to travel alone 80 miles away to be with her older cousin. And did you notice the way they greeted each other? Mary walked in the door, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and immediately she prophesied, "Blessed are you. Blessed is the child you are bearing. Blessed is she who believed." Blessed was Mary who believed, but blessed also was Elizabeth, who believed that God would answer her prayers, even though her priest husband did not believe. And blessed were they in the gift of each other. After Elizabeth prophesied, Mary also, filled with the Holy Spirit, sang her radical song of blessing and expectation of God's world-changing action. In the beautiful words of Barbara Brown Taylor, Mary sings out, "My soul magnifies the Lord," right there in Elizabeth's living room, and "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Elizabeth and Zechariah are the first to hear her song, But it's not just for them. It's also for her, for Mary, and for the Mighty One who has done great things for her. It's for Gabriel, who first gave her the good news, and for everyone who will benefit from it. For the proud and powerful, who will be relieved of their swelled heads. For the hungry, who will be filled with good things. For the rich, who will be sent away empty, so that they have room in themselves for things deeper than money can buy. Her song is for the ancestors, for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel, for every son and daughter of Israel who thought God had forgotten the promise to be with them forever, to love them forever, to give them fresh and endless life. As we are surrounded by the ancient, familiar stories pouring into a world that is again in turmoil, when the rich are bloated and the poor are suffering, may we open our hearts to this message given for us and the message sent to us by blessed friends. May we hold on to those friends who believe for us when we are unable to believe in the face of the world's chaos. Blessed are you who believe, who persist in trusting God through hardship and difficult days as deeply as in joy and peaceful days. May your souls magnify the Lord and your spirits rejoice in God your Savior. For surely the Mighty One is doing great things for and through you. And the generations that come after you will look up from their own struggles and be renewed by your faith and call you blessed.
Listen, listen.